This morning, God's Word comes to us from Acts chapter 6. Acts 6. We are going to be reading just the first 7 verses of this chapter. Acts chapter 6, beginning at verse 1, what we hear now is God's Word. Now, in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. And we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Here we end the reading of God's Holy Word. Well, this morning we are picking up again on our series on the nature of the church. And in God's good providence, it also is our ordination installation Sunday for office bearers, elders, and deacons. In our study of the church, we began by looking at the marks of the church. Remember, children, there are 3 marks of the church: the preaching of the gospel, the administration of the sacraments, and the exercise of Christian discipline toward repentance. Then we moved on to the offices of the church: ministers and elders, and this morning, focusing on deacons. And we saw how those offices flow from the work of Christ. Christ, who came to fulfill the Old Testament offices and who continues his work in the New Testament offices. Christ, who was our chief prophet and teacher, who now speaks to us through the ministry of the Word. Christ, who is our eternal King, who now rules us through the eldership of the church. And Christ, who is our great high priest. And we'll see this morning how that priestly role of Christ is continued in the office of the deacon. I think the office of deacon is probably the more misunderstood of the 3 offices of the church. It is sometimes seen as something of a secondary office. Now, we will see this morning how it is necessary for the church and a blessing for the church as the deacons minister Christ's love and mercy to us. Acts 6 is the pretty much go-to text for the formal beginnings of the diaconate. So we will use that text for our study of the Word of God this morning. We read that in these days the disciples were increasing in number. The church was growing. And because of that increase, there was a complaint by the Hellenists against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. The church was growing so much that the apostles themselves were no longer able to do all the work of prayer and of the ministry of the word and of caring for the needs of the widows. Now, we can't overlook that. The care of the widows was an apostolic work. It was so important that the apostles did it themselves. It wasn't a secondary matter to care for these physical needs, but they would do it as long as they could. However, the church grew so much, they were simply unable to continue that service. Now, they had a couple options. They could have said, you know, this care for the physical needs of the widows, it's really not that important. We're just going to let it go. We're not going to worry about that anymore. They don't do that. They recognize this work as so significant, as so important, that they will set aside men and have them particularly do this ministry to those with physical needs. It was not a secondary matter to them by any means. This work must continue. And in fact, we read in verse 6, these men were set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. They set them apart. They ordained them for this particular ministry, an authority from Christ to minister to the real needs of God's people. Now, I said that this is connected with Christ in his priestly work. Remember in the Old Testament what the priest did. In the Old Testament, the priests would bring offerings to God. The people brought the offering to the priest, and the priest brought the offering to God. That was not the extent of the Old Testament priestly office. The Old Testament priests also cared for the real physical needs of God's people. Maybe make a note in your outline to look later today at Deuteronomy chapter 14. In Deuteronomy chapter 14, we read this. At the end of every 3 years, you shall bring out all the tithe of your produce in the same year and lay it up within your towns. And the Levite, because he has no portion or inheritance with you, and the sojourner, and the fatherless, and the widow who are within your town shall come and eat and be filled, and the Lord your God may bless you in all the work that your hands may do. It was a priestly work to provide for the fatherless, to provide for the widow, to provide for the sojourner, to care for their real physical needs. That was the task of the priest. And so we see that when Christ comes, how he perfectly fulfills all of that priestly service. Certainly, he is the perfect and final sacrifice. No more sacrifices needed. But that wasn't all that Christ did. Think about the rest of his ministry. Meeting the real physical needs of the people. Christ would feed the multitudes, providing for their physical needs. Christ would heal the sick and the lame and the deaf and the blind, caring for their real physical needs. Christ would provide comfort in times of loss as he wept at the death of Lazarus. His priestly work was not only the sacrifice that he came to offer perfectly. It was all of his ministry to care for the physical needs of the people. Mark 10 tells us, he came not to be served, but he came to serve. And the deacons share in that priestly ministry of mercy. By setting these men apart for this particular important task in the church, it allowed the other ministries to go on, each one fulfilling their particular calling. Oftentimes, the deacons are the first point of contact when someone comes to our church. Someone comes looking for physical help. I need gas for my car. I need food for the day. I need lodging for the night. Their first contact with the church is the deacons. And the deacons exercise this significant ministry, this honorable office in the name of Christ as a point of contact with those who need real physical help in their lives. Oh, it is by no means a secondary office in the church, but a blessing to those who receive Christ's mercy through the work of the deacons. What was required when these men were set apart? The 12 summoned the full number of disciples, said, "It's not right we should give up preaching to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty." Men who were full of the Spirit. That is the primary qualification of a deacon. A man who is filled with the Spirit of God. The primary qualification is not that he can add up a column of numbers. The primary qualification is not that he can provide a good financial report. Now, we hope the deacons can do these things as well. But their primary qualification is they are men of the Spirit, men in whom God's Spirit is active, that they are godly men. In 1 Timothy 3, we read the qualifications for the diaconate. Deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must be godly men. Men who are full of the Spirit and of wisdom. They must be wise men. Men who are able to discern, to evaluate the requests that are brought before them. There are so many opportunities, so many ways that the gifts of God's people could be used. And the deacons are called in wisdom to determine where best to use those resources. When someone comes to the church asking for help, the deacons are called to use wisdom in discerning how or if to answer this need. And the difficulty of their office is that when people come and ask for help, they must distinguish between a real need and someone who is just trying to scam the church. And the difficulty is that the truth and a really good lie sound the same. The truth and a really good lie sound the same. And it takes wisdom. And it takes discernment to know how best to minister to the situation. Find men who are full of the Spirit, men who are full of wisdom, men of good repute, men who are known for already having these characteristics. Men who are recognized as having these gifts. When the council brings the names of potential office bearers to the congregation, we really shouldn't be surprised by any names we see on that list.
It should be just the opposite. Oh, I understand why he's there. Oh, I can see why he's there. Oh, of course. These are men who are known to already exercise these particular gifts, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, men of good repute. The diaconate is not an office to be used for lesser means. It's not the case that when we are considering new office bearers for the upcoming term, we ask the question, you know, who should we get more involved in church? Oh, let's make this person a deacon. That'll make them more involved. That is to turn the office on its head. No, these are men who are ready, are recognized as exercising these types of gifts. The diaconate should not be seen as a potential training ground for the eldership. You know, in 3 or 4 years, this man could be a great elder. Let's make him a deacon first, see how he does, and then get him ready for eldership. The diaconate is a particular office, an important office, a significant office on its own. And if you look at the qualifications for elders and for deacons, they are very, very similar, but they have different functions. The elders rule, the ministers preach, the deacons serve in the name of Christ. This is where God brings his blessing to the church. We read in verse 7, "And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. When the office bearers did their intended work, God gave his blessing to the church." So what is that service that the deacons do? It is a compassionate service, meeting the needs, the real physical needs of God's people. The deacons will deal with money. And maybe sometimes that shapes our view of the diaconate, as if money is somehow less spiritual than every other part of our life. No, it is a part of our walk with the Lord. And the deacons do deal with money, but they do so from a spiritual point of view. Not a less spiritual part of the ministry. Think about the prayer that our Lord taught us to pray. One of 6 petitions in that prayer is, "Give us this day our daily bread." That is a real physical need and is in no way a lesser petition than any of the others. The deacons deal with the real physical needs of God's people. We think of, as our form alluded to, Matthew 25, when Jesus tells about the separation of the sheep from the goats. What was the standard by which they were separated? Jesus said, "I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick and in prison, and you visited me." This is diaconal service. Significant service. Meeting the real physical needs of God's people. But the deacons do so in a spiritual way. The deacons are not an arm of the state. There are state programs that will supply certain physical needs. When we lived in Phoenix, there was a school lunch program. And every school-aged child in the district, whether they attended that school or not, could go and get free lunch every day. Didn't matter if they went or not. It was a state-run program to provide for the physical needs of the students. Today, you can still get, now it's called SNAP. We just called it food stamps. You can get food stamps. On the food stamps is the symbol of our government. It's an arm of the government. The symbol on the deacon's ministry, the symbol is the love and mercy of Christ. They minister because Christ loves his people. And their ministry is a ministry of deed and word. Again, from the qualifications of 1 Timothy 3, they must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. They minister in Christ's name, not in the name of the state, not in the name of the federal government. They minister in Christ's name to be a blessing to people. They minister in the name of the great high priest, the great high priest who meets the needs of his people. He met our greatest need in coming to sacrifice, his significant work as great high priest who sacrifices himself for our deepest need, the removal of all of our sins. And certainly we celebrate that today, what Jesus Christ has done. And the call of the gospel, that for all who would embrace him, that is true for you as well. Know Jesus Christ, embrace Jesus Christ, this high priest, this final sacrifice, and have your deepest need met. But he continues to minister to the other needs we have in our life through the diaconate. They minister with deed and word, with the word of God. We don't know much about these seven men named here. There's a few names that we recognize. Stephen will go on in the very next chapter and will give a biblical theological defense for the ministry of Christ. Philip will go on in chapter 8 and be an evangelist to the Ethiopian eunuch. These were men of the word, filled with spirit, filled with wisdom, those who were known to be so, who ministered the love and mercy of Christ to those who were in need. Christ is the only king and head of his church, but he continues to care for that church through the ministry of the offices, through the kingly office of the elder, through the prophetic office of the minister, and certainly through the priestly office of the deacon. And so I conclude this morning's sermon, as I did those other two sermons on office. Please, please pray for our deacons. Pray that they might have hearts of compassion. Pray that they might have wisdom and discernment. Give to the deacons. Give generously, that they may minister generously to those whom they discern have a real need. Be willing to respond to the needs that they bring to us, whether that be through our gifts, through our talents, through our abilities. God has given us the diaconate to organize the real physical ministry of the church. Provide yourself willingly to them that they might minister in the name of Christ. Oh, God has been so good to our congregation. We celebrate that again today, that Christ might continue to care for his church through the offices, through the elders, through the deacons, through the ministers, and that the church might increase to the glory of God. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, we thank you, we praise you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church. And we thank you, Lord God, that he continues to minister to that church. We recognize it is through fallen, sinful, fallible men. And so we pray for the office bearers, particularly this morning we pray for the deacons, that you would give them hearts of mercy, the mercy of Christ, that you would give them compassion, that you would give them wisdom, that they might exercise their office for your honor and for your glory. Help us all, O God, to participate in this work as the deacons organize the works of Christian Mercy. It is an opportunity to show you our love and to bring praise to your Son, Jesus Christ. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.